Hey folks, this is Ethan the Farmer, and this is Farmer's Thoughts here on Thursday evening, and we're going to be talking, me and Mr. Applecamp, about various different current events. Listen in and don't miss out. Folks, this is Ethan the Farmer, and I just want to tell you a little bit about our parent organization in this quick sponsorship ad. Our parent organization is related to farms, food, families, and freedom. Now, if you want to learn more about it, you can go online and check out gtkyf.org. That's gtkyf.org, and learn more about all of the different awesome programs and endeavors and projects that we are involved in as Get to Know Your GTKYF Foundation, Inc., in regards to making a difference in our world today. Hey folks, this is Ethan the Farmer, and I'm here with AJ Applecamp, and we're doing another edition of Farmer's Thoughts for October 24th, 2019. How you doing tonight, Mr. Applecamp?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, having all kinds of fun. Me and the dogs, we're out here doing our part every day to try to do our best to make a difference in this planet. Sam Doggy, he thinks that his job is to help the human make a difference.
How does he do that?
Well, he barks at everybody that gets close to the truck. He makes sure they know that we're here. You can't hide with him. And he keeps the human from falling asleep when the human's driving late at night.
Sounds like he's a good boy.
Yep, good watchdog. So anyway, what's on your mind tonight, Mr. Applecamp?
Well, I have been covering Mr. Zuckerberg's illustrious visit to Washington, D.C., I thought we could chat about that a little bit. I only watched a few minutes of it, but it sure was interesting. I don't know if you want me to go over the background. People kind of know what's going on. Facebook wants to create a cryptocurrency, and the legislators are getting a little anxious. So they had Mark Zuckerberg come down asking some questions.
And you really think that guy can tell the truth?
Well, here's the thing. I only watched two interviews. The first one was with Al Green of Texas, and the second one was Andy Barr out of Kentucky. Al Green asked Mark Zuckerberg who was going to be in charge of the Libra project, and Mark Zuckerberg couldn't really tell him. He was surprised. As we reported months ago, the people in charge, the members of the Libra Association, are going to be companies that each give Facebook $10 million. That's a good chunk of change, right?
That seems to me to be almost extortion or bribery.
Yeah, but here's the interesting part, right? So Al Green asked Mark Zuckerberg, is it true that each of your backers gives you $10 million to be involved? And Mark Zuckerberg says, I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, he said, don't you know who you're working with? Mark Zuckerberg said, yeah, I don't know if they've paid the money yet. Now, what kind of businessman, okay, loses $10 million, right?
Multiple times. It sounds to me like he lost $10 million from multiple people based on this conversation.
Well, he did. Actually, what happened was PayPal and Stripe and Visa and MasterCard were each going to pay them $10 million, but they started getting cold feet because they realized the legislators didn't want it to go through. But now here's where it gets really interesting. Al Green questions this guy for a while, and then he leaves off. Now Andy Barr speaks up, and he's a Kentucky district representative. I believe he's on the Republican ticket. And the first thing he says is, you know, I never want to question any entrepreneur without first appreciating his innovation, right? And then he starts saying how, you know, people are just ungrateful and they want to practice socialism. I'm not lying. Now you can listen to it. It's on YouTube, right? So here's my question to you, Mr. Farmer. What tone should we take with a tech magnate like Mark Zuckerberg, who's going down to Washington and work, looking into his business? What do you think is appropriate to address this fellow?
Well, I honestly think that there needs to be accountability, both like from the government, I'd like to have somebody look into how much Zuckerberg paid that guy to tell the world to not dig into Zuckerberg's world. And second of all, I think that companies like Zuckerberg and Amazon and Walmart and Alphabet, which is Google, I think all of these companies, if they wanted to split up AT&T back in the 80s or whatever it was for being a, quote, monopoly, let me tell you something. Facebook and those guys are a bigger monopoly than anything the world's ever seen. Along with Amazon and all these other things. When the company starts getting to the point where they control the entire marketplace and can set the prices, there's a problem. Because it no longer allows for, it stifles competition. There is no competition for Facebook for what Facebook does. Letting Facebook become a quasi-bank through blockchain or cryptocurrency, or for that matter, if they wanted to issue their own currency, I don't think is right. Facebook already has way too much power, already has all of our pertinent information, pretty much everything about everybody is either in Facebook, Twitter, or Google's hands. You don't have your information, your privacy is no longer private. And then those companies turn around and profit by selling it to the government even, or selling it to quasi-governmental companies that turn around and sell it to the government. However they want to hide the breadcrumb trail, it still doesn't make it right. And something is not right with the whole concept that these people get away with this craziness and they don't even treat their employees right. They don't even take care of their staff half right.
Right.
I read somewhere where Amazon was trying to cut health benefits to certain people. And it's like, wait a second, hold up. Benzo's the richest clown in the world. And I called him a clown.
Billions and billions of dollars, yeah.
And yet he's going to try to nickel and dime $100 a month for somebody's health care so that they can have, you know, a decent life? That's crap.
Yeah.
That's crap. Yeah,
well, that's right. And, you know, so, you know, I'm glad to hear you say that. You know, the thing is, we have to look at, I would hope that other Republicans would not only be disgusted by Andy Barr's line of questioning, but also hold him to account. Because what's happening is, there's a contingent of people who think that we should just be happy that Facebook is creating a new world for us. I mean, this kind of stuff, the Republican Party was pro-business in the 80s, but it's gotten on steroids. And now they're saying, you know, you should just accept whatever comes. Edward Snowden, right? I was talking to some off-the-grid friends of mine last weekend, and they recommended Permanent Record to me, and they said, you know, this guy, you know, he's a hero. And according to, you know, the contingent in government who don't like that kind of thing, they would like to execute the guy.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about it is, Snowden called the government what it is, crooked, dirty, eavesdropping and crap they ain't got no business. You know, the situation is just out of hand. And the fact is, Facebook and Google, they eavesdrop on everything. What do you think it is when they're selling Amazon, what are they, Amazon Alexa? No, that's Google. I don't know.
It's Amazon. It's Amazon Alexa, Amazon Echo. Those things are in everybody's house.
And they listen to everything.
Well, yeah, we have Farm Fresh Media has a story coming out soon about Amazon's anti-labor practices and the kind of idiot commentary provided by some of the VPs over there who just feel like we should not question Amazon, right? We should just thank them for being such great job creators. You know, this kind of stuff that pisses me off. I mean, it's just absurd.
The largest recipient of corporate welfare in the United States is one of the largest companies in the United States, and it is Walmart. I read somewhere like half of the employees that work at Walmart also get government benefits because they can't afford to live. Something is wrong when the public tax dollar is subsidizing the billionaire heiress and families of the Waltons. Something is wrong. And I doubt that it's very different with Amazon. I doubt that it's very different with Google. I doubt that it's very different with any of those guys. Look at the situation where the Fed, okay, which I disagree with the Fed in the first place. I think we got a major issue with a private organization controlling our money. But nonetheless, look at the fact that the Fed is now trying to look at reinventing the way they count job creation and revenue and growth, because they don't have a physical product for growth right now tied to the billions of dollars that are related to Facebook and Google and these tech companies. They don't have a Facebook is not creating a dollar. You know, Facebook, all they really are is an advertising company. Google, all it really is an advertising company. The fact they do not create any hard product. There is no actual goods created by what they're doing has caused a major issue for the way the Fed does their calculations, because there's no product. And not only that, but then you look, okay, so this is really funny money that is Zuckerberg's wealth. Zuckerberg's wealth is not tied to legitimate production of goods or products. Zuckerberg's wealth is tied to selling advertising. Google's wealth is tied to selling advertising. Selling your information.
We have to look at the societal debate that we're having now. I mean, I agree with you. Here's the thing though. I frequently mention the rights of the people versus the rights of the state. People who celebrate the rights of the state are going to say to you, what voice do you have in how somebody else does business? They're not going to want to discuss that. Now, my thing is, I want to be very clear, and I know you don't like to get partisan on here, but I don't want people to be able to say, well, hey, if you oppose corporate hegemony, that's socialism. Right? That's the first thing they say. That's the first thing Andy Barr said. It's the first thing you hear from people who are nervous about losing control of the country to the Democratic Party is, it's socialism. I would challenge people not to fall into that trap.
I'm not a socialist. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I am an independent because I choose to think and I choose to weigh each and every thing that I see these groups doing. I don't agree with the Republicans. I don't agree with the Democrats. I don't agree with the socialists. I don't agree with any of them altogether. But what I see is people are trying to use those words as ways to prevent people, because the orange-headed feller that's in the White House, he's loony. Okay? The guy tried to say this last week that he's building the border wall in Colorado. Where the hell does that leave Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona? Because if we decide we're moving the southern border of the United States all the way to the Colorado border, we got a problem. We just biffed it as far as Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona went.
That's definitely... Everybody's scratching their heads with the headline of the day, trying to figure out what Trump speak it means. But I want to put this in real quick, because this is something that almost went in the article about Amazon. It's a pop quiz, right? You can either say, the question is, why is Jeff Bezos' ex-wife worth $38 billion, okay? And here's two ways to look at it. Some people will say, well, it's because Jeff Bezos siphoned assloads of money out of the American economy unfairly. Other people are going to say, well, no, Jeff Bezos is great, but his wife just got too much alimony, right? So think about that. Think about which one of those somebody's going to choose. And there you have the beginning of the debate on corporate activity. Some people think it's fine for Jeff Bezos to do whatever he's doing.
I think that they should split that company up. I think they should split Alphabet up. I think they should split Facebook up. And, you know, along with that whole concept, at GTKYF Foundation, Inc., or GTKYF.org, the group that owns Farm Fresh Media that creates these podcasts, that owns Farmer's Thoughts, we are in the process of building platforms to compete against these powers that don't sell your information. Did you know that right now we have an entire classified platform that doesn't charge, doesn't sell your information, and doesn't even bother to keep most of your information? We keep the bare minimum to keep the site functional.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff on sale over there.
And then we're in the process of building a social media platform. That should be live by the end of the year. We're building an email platform, which will include a calendar and that kind of stuff. And we're building a platform that does even a dating platform. And people
How do we guide our listeners to the classified site that's currently up?
Well, it's familyfarmer.market. If you listen to the ads that run during this show, you'll hear an ad for familyfarmer.market. But there's also communityclassifieds.market, community classifieds online. There's like 10 different sites now that are part of this conglomerate of classifieds associated with this platform. And if you go to gtkyf.org and go down the list to where it says classified platform or classified program, and click on that, it'll take you to a page that lists all the domains. We even have one where people can sell essential oils. We have one where people can sell CBD and kratom. And whether you like kratom or not, it's legal in this country. It is a plant, CBD. Whether you like it or not, it's legal. It's a plant. You know, it's not something that's made by a pharmaceutical company. And I'd much prefer to have that around than have the pharmaceutical companies running amok.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's a great thing to have an alternative platform. I recommend people use that domain, that platform. You know, it's important that we create alternatives for people, and it truly is grassroots. I mean, you know, so now if people if they don't just want to complain about Facebook, they can actually go somewhere else, right?
There will be a social media platform in existence by the end of the year. One of the domains that will be attached to is social.activism.fyi. But there'll be several others as well that we'll use the same back-end software to operate, just like we did with the classified. You know, we will target specific genres for social media. And like I said, we're not saving their information. We're not selling their information. We're not studying their. Trust me, I ain't got time to study their information.
Sure. When you go to the platform, you can see that it's very simple. You know, and what it reminds me of actually is the bulletin boards that they had in the 1980s. Now, when the internet was new, it was decentralized. Okay. When you wanted to send a message to somebody, you got on the local bulletin board, and you could see everybody's handles that were online. Now, I contend that's a far better system than what we have now, but of course, I'm a nostalgic guy, so I miss the old ways. But if people start using these groups, it can be a much more decentralized way to message people digitally online. I could say to you, hey, instead of hopping on Facebook, I go to this, what's the domain again? Farmer Market?
Familyfarmer.market is the main classified site that's been up the longest.
Right, and when the social media site is up, you can go and message somebody and say, hey, you know, let's meet up with this or whatever, I'm going to sell this. And, you know, I not have to go through a centralized platform that's essentially, you know, become too big.
Well, like, for instance, we have market.activism.fyi, and we'll have social.activism.fyi, and a couple other ones that are part of all that. And what that does is they're integrated. So, like, the login that you use for the market on that platform will also work as the login for the social media site. And it'll be all interchangeable, as well as you can message people through it, and not, you still have the security of an anonymous message. You don't have to have, you don't have to message somebody and tell them your address per se, so you have some crazy goon show up at your door.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, it's really important to have these alternatives. I just really want my personal, stance as just me, just speaking for myself, is that, you know, people need to be less anxious about the people now contending for the presidential race whose stated goal is to break up and control the big tech companies. Okay? That's what people want. On the other hand, you have people like Andy Barr and others who just want to kiss the butt of any entrepreneur and say, hey, just give Zuckerberg the keys to the kingdom and don't ask questions. I react very strongly against that. I think that is a bad mentality, and it should really be questioned.
It gives Zuckerberg too much power. And
you have to look at why give Zuckerberg all that power, and then you get into the real ideology of the right, which holds that there are certain individuals who just should have domination over everybody else. I mean, be it Zuckerberg or Jeff Bezos or whoever.
And there's no reason why they should. Well, hold on a second here, Mr. Applecamp. We're going to run to a quick break. We're a little bit late, but we'll be right back in just a few.
Okay.
Well, folks, Ethan the Farmer here for our sponsor, FamilyFarmer.Market. Have you ever wished you had a classifieds that really cared about you and cared about small business and local economy? Well, now you do. Check out www.FamilyFarmer.Market and put your free ad up today. And we're back. This is Ethan the Farmer for Farmer's Thoughts with AJ Applecamp. It's October 24th, and we're ready for another. Keep going with this discussion we're having regarding the power of corporate America to basically do whatever they want.
I encourage everybody to listen to Mark Zuckerberg's testimony today. It's very interesting. Very interesting.
So, you know, we got Mark Zuckerberg that walks on water, according to some of our elected officials. We got Bezos, who, when he gets divorced, his wife becomes, I think that's the fifth richest person in the world, just by her alimony settlement. And
it was $38 billion, yeah.
$38 billion right out of the gate. And then you got, who else? Well, I guess Sergey Brin and them guys from Alphabet are kind of down the food chain now. They're not quite as high and mighty as they used to be when Google was running rampant, but even so, Google is still a very dominant internet entity.
Yeah, and you know, this extends beyond tech. Let's not forget Tyson, where one set of plants controls over half of all beef production or something.
Yeah.
It's really very centralized. You know, I don't know if we talked about that yet on here, but man, when you have, you know, 6 points handling, you know what, the 6,000 head of cattle a day or whatever, the system is very fragile at that point.
Well, yeah, and when the capacity is almost maxed out, and then you have a couple of plants go down for whatever reason, it causes major havoc. And, you know, that goes back to, like, the Farm Fresh Media. We're going to be putting out some articles and talking about some of this stuff and what's going on, talking about the, even with the hemp production, the ability to get hemp to a processor, at least in the state of Pennsylvania, there's only one processor that's up and running legally, legitimately. That puts a real constraint on the market. Here, the government allowed these farmers to go out and plant this great new cash crop, but then there's only one player on the block at the moment. That's a problem.
Right. And, you know, monopoly is one of the key tenets of corporate overreach, right? I mean, monopolies are malfunctions in the economic system, right?
Yeah. A monopoly doesn't make any sense. What made America strong, what made America the backbone of the world's economy for so many years, was the small business diversification, spread out over many, 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 many different aspects and businesses, right, so that when once, let's say the mercantile failed in one small town, it wasn't a major deal because there were 50 other mercantiles contributing to the gross production of that area. And
not only that, but you had natural production mechanisms that didn't get contaminated with salmonella every time you turn around, because they weren't it's the difference between a mechanized factory with 100 spinning knives and a butcher who's out there dressing out an animal, right?
Well, yeah.
It's a totally different paradigm.
You look at like Tyson, and they got their chicken plant, they got to douse their chicken with Clorox because they can't keep the bacteria counts down. That's scary stuff. That's disgusting.
We covered that, what was it, in August, and showed how China and Russia and all these other countries won't take our meat exports anymore because they're doused with that stuff. They don't do that other places.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we're the chemical kingdom of the world. I mean, just chemicals and everything. Let me tell you real quickly, a friend of mine said about a farmer up in Adamstown, there's a guy up there who has a chicken poultry operation, and I said something about, he's a farmer. She goes, well, he's really more of an agribusiness, because once you have, you know, thousands and thousands of birds that are under Tyson, and, you know, they're part of this pipeline, I mean, it's not local farming the way you would think of it.
No, and it results in unsustainable practices. Manure management that can't be managed. Ammonia. Bacteria. Just outlandish utility usage. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, and you talk about manure. Manure is an excellent example of... So in a decentralized model, that's an asset, right? The natural ammonia, the natural bacteria, all of those things are assets. When you bring it all together, it becomes a liability. It's too much.
Yeah, it's contamination.
Right. But if it's decentralized, it's not contamination. It's an asset. You use it on a field. You do whatever. It goes back to the soil. When Smithfield lets its gates open and it turns the Carolina waterways disgusting brown, that's contamination.
Well, when you have the, what is it, red tide in Florida, that they're tying to chicken farms and whatnot in Georgia, Youch, look out. The bacteria in the ocean is so bad, it's killing all the ocean animals, and it's making humans sick just for getting water on them. Well, what they think is water. And it's tied to commercial ag. It's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Not to mention microplastics, which hemp has the power to actually eliminate microplastics. If it's done right,
mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen overnight. But like you said, with hemp farmers not being able to process the stuff, I mean, we got a long way to go.
Well, yeah, we got a situation now where we have price controls being dictated by one or two players on the market. That's going to drive the cost for the consumer up, the value for the farmer down. This is not right. We're back to craziness. I mean, it's the same kind of nonsense with the dairy farmers. You know, the price for the dairy farmers squat diddly. They can't even cover the cost of producing the milk. And the profit that Walmart makes and Dean Food makes selling the milk is crazy.
Yeah, that Dean Food deal. I mean, the thing is, we simply have to have more agrarian influence in the government, where we're going to continue to have stuff. We didn't even cover Sonny Perdue saying that dairy farms might not survive.
Oh, no, that was dairy farms might not survive, and family farms are not important. You know, many years ago,
that's right.
I had a conversation face-to-face with a guy by the name of Mark Udall. He was a senator out of Colorado. And he told me right to my face that family farmers are not essential for the economy in this country.
Well, he's right technically, but he's wrong morally. See, you don't need any kind of family business in order to run an economy. What you need them for is to run a society, and that's where that guy is blind. He's morally blind. You don't have unions and factory farms and family farms because you have to. You have them because they're the natural way of doing things.
Well, and they provide a sustainable economy, a sustainable environment, and a life for the families that operate them.
Right, right. I mean, you can, to Udall's point, you can just give everything over and have robots do it. But your quality of life, one would argue, is not sustainable at all. It will not be enjoyable in the years to come.
Well, you know, Udall comes from a family ranching business. I mean, his family is farmers / ranchers in Western United States. Small time people originally. They're not anymore because he became super wealthy through his political nonsense. And
yeah, well, that's right. That's right. Never underestimate the power of greed. I don't know. Have you ever watched the? You don't watch a lot of movies, do you?
I don't watch any movies for the most part, unless they're documentaries.
Yeah, there are a few that would be good. The first Wall Street movie with Mike Douglas, Gordon Gekko, said greed is good, and we've never gone back from that. We've gone full speed ahead in this country from greed is good to, hey, let robots do it. Let's centralize everything. And we never went away from that. Just people trying to grab at a dollar. I mean, look, people act like money is the only thing that matters in this world.
Well, and look at what the Christians say through the Bible. Money is the root of all greed, or money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Whoa, well, that's a powerful statement.
They ripped that page out of their Bibles, I'm afraid.
I think
one, as well as most of what Jesus said, including the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, I think they the hypocritical stance on that. They forgot that whole verse, but you know, it's still the fact that it's still there as far as I know, and they don't follow it. I mean, I could go into hours and hours on the hypocrisy of the majority of Christian America, but nonetheless, you know, money is the root of all evil. Greed is the source.
Yeah, I mean, I could go off on that all day too, and I shouldn't, but I think the main thing is that the Bible actually, in many ways, provides a great blueprint for how to live people's lives.
Morally!
Not in sexuality and stuff like that so much, though, as in societal common good. I mean, there's a lot of that in there.
Yeah.
How to live civically with each other and not pollute the crap out of our planet and our ecosystem and our communities and have, you know, unsustainable dirt and filth and money-driven. I mean, there's just a lot in there as a blueprint, but we're living in strange times, Mr. Farmer. I don't know.
Yeah, we are. We're living in strange times. You know, common sense is not so common anymore.
That's what I say.
So, well, I appreciate your time tonight, Mr. Applecamp. I look forward to talking to you again soon. It's been a real adventure, just another wonderful evening of having a conversation and discussing farmers' thoughts.
All right, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you on down the road. Take care.
You too.
Hey, folks, Ethan the Farmer here, and I just want to remind all you folks, our organization relies on your generous donations. If you don't donate, we can't keep providing stuff like this podcast, websites, all the different stuff. If you don't donate, you don't support our sponsors, you don't support our endeavors, we can't keep providing this. So I'd ask you folks to go to paypal.me/GTKYF. Again, that's paypal.me/GTKYF and make your donation today.